It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Jason Munns usually joins us on Monday, kind enough to join us on Tuesday. Jason, are we playing Don't Forget About Me for David Jones?
Oh, I don't know. I'm feeling somewhat wistful today, so I went with Simple Minds and the Breakfast Club song. But I'm also, that was a record read, Jeffrey. That had to be some kind of record.
It'll happen.
He's passionate about birdies.
Yes, I do love
Jason.
I do love the fine folks at birdies. Andrew McCarthy's doing the Brat Pack. He's doing a special on Hulu. Gotta say, it's one of the few things my wife and I looked at. We're like, we're in.
Yes, totally in. Something I've been pondering. Mm-hmm. Are they Fritos or corn chips? Which are you?
Fritos.
What do you
Fritos.
Call them?
Fritos. Even Fritos. I understand that's like a Kleenex situation, or what kind of Coke do you want? I get it's that, but the
no
Fritos.
One says corn chips.
Yeah. Corn chips means a different thing.
Yeah, corn chip. Like, I associate a corn chip with, like, something you dip in salsa, like a tortilla chip. Well,
because they're really not even corn chips. They're corn strips.
Yeah.
Well, Jonah's vindicated. So Jonah Dillon feels vindicated. So,
do you call them corn chips?
I used to when I was much younger, but then I got introduced to the Frito pie, and they became Fritos.
Do you call peanut butter and crackers nabs?
Nabs?
No. Such no, a Mississippi no, thing. It's a Mississippi thing.
I've never heard that.
No, but I know I've heard it a lot. Yes.
No, I never heard that one. That's a new one.
Nails on a chalkboard for me. It's like a dead giveaway.
It's been a long time since I've heard it. But no, just feeling a little wistful today. That's all.
Okay. Well, will we be feeling wistful about David Jones in whatever 36 hours or so? He has to decide by when. When are we gonna?
Tomorrow night at midnight?
I guess we won't necessarily know by the deadline, but he'll have to inform someone by the deadline of what he's doing. What is the deadline, and what's your read right now on the David Jones situation in terms of will he stay or will he go?
Well, it's precisely 10:59 p.m. Central Time tomorrow night. That's when it is. It can be no later than that.
That's when he has to pull his name out of the NBA draft, ultimately.
Yeah.
In order to maintain his eligibility.
Yeah.
Even though it feels like you could probably challenge that in court these days. But
I don't know what the mechanics of that might involve. A lot of times you do see announcements that come after the deadline. Like usually the next morning, there might be some that are – not reported before.
Well, what do you think happens? Because I'm guessing there's no one from the NCAA actually checking the database at midnight. I'm guessing someone wakes up in the morning and just goes through it. Like, what if someone submitted at like 2:30 a.m.? You think they'd count it? You think they'd be like sticklers like that?
The NCAA?
Yeah.
Do I think the NCAA would be sticklers? Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Well, I think the other question, though, is wouldn't the NBA have to notify them? Because isn't it the NBA's database?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think there's some sort of checks and balances between the two.
In the end, you're either declaring to stay in the NBA draft or not.
Yeah, you're right. It is Yeah. Then maybe it's even more like you could call the NBA the next morning. Hey, like,
my bad.
I was 2 hours late, but I like. Can you just honor it?
Pull the old Rory McIlroy.
Yeah. Can you take out the one and just make it?
I didn't know time zones.
right. Yeah, I'm like, the times. If anybody understands how confusing time zones are, which they're not. They're not confusing, but they confuse the crap out of me to no end. And it gets me in some sticky situations sometimes, unfortunately. But I don't have that capacity to wrap my mind around it.
You're not good with a clock, are you? Is that what we're finding out?
There are some.
I can get it when you're like talking about like, what's the time in Tokyo?
Well, no,
stuff
no, no,
like that's
no,
far
no,
away
it's,
like
it's
that.
It's the states that don't flip. Like Arizona sometimes is mountain time. Other times they're Pacific.
No, and it can be hard to like figure out which states are east. Like Michigan is Eastern time zone, but Illinois is Central time zone, and you know, and
well, Tennessee has two.
Ohio's Eastern time zone.
Chattanooga's on Eastern time zone. Nashville's not.
Yeah, so there is a western sliver of Michigan
there
that is
go.
In the Central time zone. I remember from going to
like
school.
Mark,
there.
When we were in Portland a few years ago, and we were bouncing. Yeah, when we were bouncing from Airbnb to Airbnb, like that whole week, I didn't know.
You didn't know what time it was.
I didn't know up from down that week.
I will say it is confusing when you're on the road like that and your laptop stays with your, unless you purposefully do it. My laptop would always stay at whatever time it was
because,
in Memphis.
Well, especially when y'all are hopping Airbnb to Airbnb, because oftentimes for that to happen, it has to flip with Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
What did help us out is when our phones started automatically updating.
Oh, yeah. That was big.
Well, and then the airlines try to help you out by adjusting. You know, it's adjusted for what time zone you're in. But then you second guess yourself, and you're thinking is it actually Central time when you're on Pacific time? And
when you got this one, if you're flying through Detroit. Detroit flips back to Eastern time zone, but then you're like, where am I going? Is that back in Central Mountain? Yeah.
Yeah. Rough life for people who can't read the clock.
I don't know how we did it before we updated phones.
No, when you had to adjust your watch every time you landed. I remember that was the first thing my dad was religious about that. When that, when the wheel, not a second before, but when those wheels touch ground on the plane, he started adjusting immediately.
It was when the flight attendant came on
the watch.
And wherever city, welcome to Detroit, Michigan, where the time is, 6:35 Eastern Daylight Time.
Yeah, started adjusting the watch. All right. So when the clock strikes 11:59 or 10:59 p.m. Central Time tomorrow, what's your read on this? What, do you feel like Penny does, 70-30? You know, have you gotten any sense of how this might play out? Is it really truly up in the air?
I think here's my gut with the whole David Jones situation. I think it's 50-50 at best. And again, I think that's probably at best.
Mm-hmm. So you'd say really you feel slightly more likely he picks staying is what you're conveying there.
In the draft.
Staying in the draft.
But only slightly. And, probably at most 60-40 that he stays in the draft. But, again, I'm not ruling out, it's just based on a lot of different things that have happened and that I've heard, it feels like on one day it feels like it could be a toss up. On another day it feels a little less likely. It's been kind of all over the place. But I don't know. I just get this.
Do you think that's a reflection of you in your mind? You think he might have heard what he needed to, or is it more is it a reflection of, something, he's concerned about at Memphis, or is it a reflection of he's just so, dead set on trying to play in the NBA right now? Like, what do you think your mindset is a reflection of?
I think he is, very, very motivated to start his professional career sooner rather than later. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it's all going to boil down to. I don't think it's got anything to do with, not getting enough money at Memphis or not wanting to come back and play another year under Penny Hardaway or whatever, another year in college, whatever. I don't think it's got anything to do with that. I think if he stays in the draft, it is going to be because he is just that motivated, just that driven to get that part, to start that chapter of his journey. And so, the other thing is, I feel like We're like less than 36 hours, I think. I don't do numbers again, but I think we're less than 36 hours from the deadline.
Yes.
And
like 32 hours.
Yeah. Like I feel reasonably confident that he's probably had a workout or two or more by now. And if he wasn't hearing good things, if he's had workouts and had meetings and whatever else, and he wasn't hearing good things, I feel like a decision would have been made by now, and we'd have heard about it. You know, so what I'm saying is, like, he must be getting some sort of feedback that is keeping him from making an announcement.
What about this theory? Just throwing this out as a theory. I think the reason it might be taking him long is because I think you're absolutely right that, like, ultimately in his heart, he did not want to play another year of college. But basically, everything he's hearing back from people is, you should go play another year of college.
He's like, looking for the team that would tell him.
Like,
yeah.
The waiting is actually a sign that, like, he's not hearing what he wants. And, like, he's waiting till the last minute because really in his heart of hearts, he wants to be a pro next year. And literally... No, because, like, I honestly don't think anyone who is if the reads we've gotten from, like, scouts, from the feedback at the combine, from just the fact that, and I'm not even talking about the bad mock drafts, like the legitimate mock drafts don't even, like, consider him a possibility to be drafted. Based off reading all of that, if that stuff's all accurate, and again, that is a big if, but, like, I don't see why anyone who is thinking in his best interest would tell him to stay in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly... That's reasonable to assume that he is so dead set on keeping his name in the draft that he is going to give it every last possible second to... like hear what he's trying to hear. Mm-hmm. And that maybe he hasn't heard that yet. And he's just given it every possible second. I mean,
that's just a theory. That's just my theory. Just, you know, like ultimately, and he might still, you know, I think, you know, he might still, if he's that dead set on going pro, like I actually think in this case, usually like back 5 years ago, 6 years ago, pre NIL, it was hard sometimes to say someone was making a bad decision with this stuff because you don't know their family situation. You don't, you know, like ultimately with the money involved now, like I think I'm going to be willing if we go on air Thursday and he's declared for the draft, I'll be willing to say like he's making a mistake. Like I think it's like a bad, I just don't see any way he can go do what he's trying to do right now next year after making a bunch of money at Memphis. Like, I don't really understand, like, the argument of waiting another year because he's older, like, I guess.
I think the argument is this.
He had a great year and he's not going to be able to duplicate it?
Well, I think the argument is this is expected to be a significantly weaker draft.
And so he's got a minuscule chance of getting a two-way this year.
Right. He's got
no chance of getting a two-way next year.
A much decreased chance.
Yeah. I mean... all those things are certainly plausible.
I think that guy's a G League player to start the year who's going to have to do what Lester did and earn his way into a two-way over the course of the next season if he stays in the draft.
I think what we've learned about all this is it doesn't matter really what... it seems like it does not matter what we think. Like, it's very clear.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think it's not the decision I would make. Maybe I shouldn't call it a bad decision. It's not the decision I would make if I was in his shoes, but... I'm not even thinking of it from a Memphis perspective.
I think it's fair to say it would be a bad business decision.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's right. But you got to follow your heart.
I think time will have to tell if it's a, like, overall, if it's a bad decision. Like,
but even, let's say he does, like, I would say this, even if he does what Lester did, which was Lester has now earned himself a real contract in the NBA, I still think, well, you know, if Lester was in David Jones's shoes and being like, I don't think Lester was being offered what David Jones is being offered for Memphis when Lester had to make his decision.
Yep.
Like, if Lester, like, it still would have been like Lester bucked the odds, you know, like the way he's done it doesn't usually happen. Doesn't happen very often, you know, where you're like, essentially, you know, was on the G League to start his career. I know, you know.
Yeah,
and then,
I think, though, with Lester, the difference with Lester is Lester gets to be a little bit more high profile because it's on the Warriors. Mm-hmm. But Jeremiah kind of did the same thing with the Nets.
The
difference was Jeremiah didn't have eligibility left. But, like.
You're in Jeremiah Martin?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, he was. But it was that was for the bubble, right? He was on the team for the bubble, I think.
That's true.
I think Jeremiah played before the bubble, too.
Well, I think he was on. He had just gotten to the main. Like, he had just gotten a two-way contract before the bubble. Like, right before the season ended. I don't remember the exact detail. But you're right. I think the general point you're trying to make, he went from undrafted, needed to basically sign with a G League team, and eventually at one point had a real NBA contract.
What I'm saying
is his was two-way, but
I think mine's also at this point. I think Lester gets viewed as probably more of a success than it really is because it's the Warriors. It's just everything feels heightened with the Warriors.
Well, and there's a lot every year. I'm not saying it's quite as drastic as what the Grizzlies went through, but there's a team or two who devolve into what the Grizzlies did this year,
sure,
where they're just, you're
well, the
just
Nets stunk when Jeremiah.
Yeah, they're just signing guys off the street to get through the year, and you can be one of those guys.
Well, I mean, with the Pistons and the Grizzlies were like trading two ways.
Yeah, exactly. All right, and then before we let you go, Jason, want you to clear up. So we had reports over the weekend of Memphis looking at an international prospect. What do we make of this? Obviously, they're waiting on David Jones. Even if they get David Jones, they have some open scholarships. What should we know about this international prospect they may or may not be looking at?
Yeah, Daniel Vieira Tuck. He's from Portugal. He's 6'4". He spent the last couple of years at a couple of different prep schools, one in Texas, one in Florida.
I was a little leery at first when I heard international prospect. The fact that he's played in America the last 2 years makes it seem more reasonable. You know, like, I don't know, like, what was the name of the guy they got a couple years ago? Granja, who never played?
In Granja, yeah.
You know, and I was a little leery after that. But, okay, so he's been playing real competition the last couple years.
Yeah, even before the prep schools, he was at a high school in Texas as well.
Okay.
Mansfield Timberview. And there was a time where he was getting offers. Like, back in November of 2022, he had an offer from West Virginia, Wichita State, Iona,
all
right, which would have been when Rick Pitino was there. But things have, that was, you know, a year.
Heck,
and
he's
half
got a Huggy Bear offer. Good enough for me. Sold.
So, yeah, but that was a year and a half ago. Anyway, he's a guard. He's kind of popped back up on the radar here in the last day or two. There was talk of him visiting Memphis today. It is not happening. So I think based on my read of the situation is I don't think that necessarily there isn't interest between Memphis for this for this player. It's just not quite as far along yet as it was made out to be. Now, the other thing about this is I'm reasonably confident, depending on what happens with David Jones, that whatever else Memphis adds at this point is going to be, it's a pretty decent bet that it's going to be like depth stuff. I think that needs to be, people need to sort of take that into account when and if new players are brought in. Like, these are not players who are going to come in and make a significant impact. I mean, there's already nine scholarship guys on campus. Eight of them are, only one of them is a true freshman.
If you have David Jones, that's plenty.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, Daniel Tuck may wind up here. It's just not quite as far along as we thought.
And the good news is, it sounds like most of these transfers are here now, right? All of them?
They are all here, yes.
Which is different than last year.
Much different. Some of them got here Sunday. The rest of them got here Monday, yesterday. And, I mean, shoot.
I think off-season workouts start June 1st, right? They can start doing off-season workouts June 1st, like organized off-season workouts.
Yes, that is correct. And last year, it was Jonathan Pierre, Caleb Mills, Nicholas Jourdain, Jaden Hardaway, Ashton Hardaway, J.J. Taylor, and Carl Fearnfont. Those are the only players who were here for the start of summer workouts.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the only players that were here for summer workouts, period. You know, Javon Quinterly, Jaquan Walton, Jordan Brown, those guys came in late July, early August.
Jalen Young
was another one who didn't get here until very late. And then obviously David Jones didn't get here until almost September, or maybe it was in September when he got here. So, you know, it seems as if it's going to be drastically different. I mean, it already is. It's already drastically different. You've got nine-ish guys here already, and camp doesn't start for another, or, you know, workouts don't start for another 2 or 3 days. So not only are they here, they're here early.
Well, that is good news, certainly. Jason, we appreciate it, man.
I appreciate you, Mark.
All right. That was Jason Munns, the Tiger basketball beat writer from the Commercial Appeal. Make sure you're reading his work over at commercialappeal.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.